Our first reading for the month of August is in Romans chapter 4. This is for August 3rd. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 says, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations,' in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, 'So shall your offspring be.' He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words 'it was counted to him' were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." So we left off in Romans chapter 3 with verse 23, of course, "All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God." Verse 24, "They are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by his blood." Verse 28, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also?" Yes, of Gentiles also. Verse 31, "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law." So Paul has made the point that faith and law are not opposed to each other. But he's saying that you can't earn your salvation. You can't do something that makes God owe it to you. But now he begins to explain the faith side of it, and he uses Abraham for that. Abraham is not only considered to be the father of the Jews in terms of lineage, but he's also considered to be the father of the Jews as in faith. And likewise, today we would call ourselves children of Abraham because we are children of that same type of faith. And so when he gets into chapter 4 and he says, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? If he was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." And verse 4 is very important. "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due." Understand that Paul is not arguing against obedience. He's not saying that obedience is automatically works that we do expecting to earn our salvation. Abraham was obedient. But he still makes this statement about him that he was not justified by works, but he was justified by his faith, counted to him as righteousness. That word counted is the same as to be reckoned as righteousness. Another way to state that would be it's regarded as righteousness. So faith was absolutely imperative for Abraham to be justified. But it wasn't a matter of faith in some singular way in which that was the only thing that had any part to play. No. What kind of faith did Abraham have? He had what I would call obedient faith. He didn't just believe that God existed. He believed that God existed. He believed who God was. He believed what God said. And because he believed all those things, he acted upon that belief. That is what an obedient faith is. Sometimes people think that faith is just a mere belief that God is out there somewhere, and sometimes even in a way in which they wouldn't understand who he is. They state, well, I know there is a God, but I don't know what God he is. That's the way they might put it. That's not faith in God. That's really more agnostic than anything else. You don't really know anything. You don't believe what God has said. You don't believe who God is. That's real faith, is a faith that believes all of those things and then will do something with it. I want to point out something. Sometimes Romans chapter 4 is abused in order to promote the idea of a faith-only salvation. Let me ask you a question. Where in chapter 4 do we ever say see Paul say that it is faith only? It's never found within the chapter. Nor does he use the word alone as faith alone. Now, the only time that is used is when James talks about it, when he says that we are not saved by faith alone. Do you remember how I told you that in the book of Romans, you've got to build one chapter on another chapter, and you have to keep all of it in context? You can't leave one to stand by itself. Well, this is why. Because you can get confused and you can be deceived into some false ideas if you don't take it within its context. So I'll get off my tangent there and continue on in the chapter. Verse 5, "And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Again, he's not talking about just obedience. He's talking about work and the idea of earning something, like somebody earns their wages. David speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not count sin." Then he begins to address this idea of, well, is it only for the circumcised or is it also for the uncircumcised? Was it counted to Abraham as righteousness before or after he was circumcised? Well, the answer is before. Before he was circumcised. The circumcision came later and it came as a sign of the covenant. So that's what Paul is trying to address. This idea of, well, is this only for the Jews? And does it have to do with a physical circumcision? No, it goes back to that idea that he presented earlier in the book, that it's really a circumcision of the heart that matters. It is faith that matters. And I would add to that, it is an obedient faith, because everything that Paul addresses in the book of Romans, he never separates the idea of faith from obedience. Obedience is always implied when he's talking about a faith that is counted as righteousness. Think about some of the examples we have within the Bible. Would David have been forgiven of his sins if he was not penitent and obedient? Would Noah and his family have been saved if he believed God that the world would be destroyed, but he didn't do what God told him and build the ark? You need to think about situations like that. Another one would be Naaman. Naaman was told to go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan in order to cure his leprosy, and he didn't think that was a good idea. He thought, hey, we've got cleaner rivers back home. And at the behest of one of his servants, he did end up being obedient, and he dipped 7 times, but it was on the 7th time when he came up that he was then clean of that leprosy. So would it have been enough to believe the word that was given to him if he didn't do what the word said. No, he was never clean until he was actually fully obedient to what he was being told. So the idea of separating faith and obedience does not fit with anything we find within the Bible. If we have faith, then we obey. Now he gets down into verse 13 and 14. He says, the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. What's his point? His point is that law not only reveals what sin is, but we also need to realize that there is not the capability to perfectly keep that law. If there was the capability to perfectly keep the law, then we could indeed earn our salvation. That is, we wouldn't have to be saved from sin because we would not have committed sin. Or at least that's what one who kept the law perfectly would be. But the fact is, no man can do that. Going back to 3 verse 23, we have all sinned, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And so we need faith and we need justification. We need forgiveness of sins. We need salvation from sin. Verse 16, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Let me ask you, which would you rather have? Would you rather have the expectation of perfect law keeping, or would you rather have the grace of God? I think anybody listening right now would very enthusiastically state, I would rather have the grace of God. And that's because we do realize that we have sinned. And once we've sinned, there is no possibility of keeping the law in such a way in which we would not be condemned. So absolutely, we want faith that is counted as righteousness, just as Abraham. And so when he said, I have made you the father of many nations, says, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The promise made to Abraham was at a point in which Abraham's body could no longer sire a child. And Sarah, she was beyond the capability of being able to bear a child. They were, you know, 100 years old. Be very old by today's standards, but they lived a bit longer then. So, how did Abraham respond? He believed God. He believed what God said. And again, that's part of his faith is belief, but part of that faith too is God said, you got to do things the way that I tell you. And he did. All the way up to the point of he was ready to sacrifice his own son. He was ready to give up the promise that he waited so long for. But of course, God kept his promise and God did not require that sacrifice. He just required a faith that would do what God told him to do. So in verse 18, he says, in hope, he believed against hope. There was no human reasoning that would state that Abraham could have a child at this point. But he did believe, and he believed against any earthly presence of hope. So verse 19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. He believed God. He believed God's promises, God's words. And he says that this statement counted to him as righteousness were not written for his sake alone, but also for ours. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That's what we're trying to get to, is that point of justification. And so all of this, yes, is addressing the Jewish idea that it was the law that brought righteousness. No, it was not. It was faith that brought righteousness. And that is a faith that was not singular to just the Jews, but the Gentiles that were in the church at that time, they could have it as well. And so Abraham was not just the father of the Jews. He was father of the Christians. He is our Father in faith. All right, chapter 5 is going to continue that same thought. Notice chapter 5 starts with that word, therefore. So he begins to draw a conclusion, but we will deal with that in tomorrow's reading. I would ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all. And I ask that you consider your own life and make sure that you are truly living a life of faith toward God that He would count as righteousness.